Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the presence of God. I have a dear English friend named Daphne. Her name was Daphne Lacey back when I was a missionary in Ecuador. She got to know my parents. She's just a little younger than I am, and she sort of became a surrogate daughter to my parents, who were missing me very much. I had not met her until I went home on a furlough from my missionary work. And Daphne was one of those people with that most glorious of all glorious English accents. And I won't pretend that I can really do it exactly the way she does. But when Daphne would call and recognize my voice on the phone, her first words were, "Oh, hello, Betty. This is Daphne Lacey speaking." And I always teased her about that, and she would tease me about my dreadful American accent as well. Well, just very recently, after many, many years, I had a phone call from Daphne, who is back in England now and married to an American. She called to say that her dear John had had many physical troubles lately. He's nearly 80 years old. And she said the other day they were just about to go out, and they had gotten just to the door when he suddenly collapsed in her arms. He was trembling, and he was turning blue. And she said, "I managed to move to a chair, and I sank into the chair, and he sank into my arms. And I said to him, 'The Lord is with us, dear. The Lord is with us.'" And I could just see her face as she would have said that. And as she said those words, Daphne herself fainted. Can you imagine the scene? The man collapsing, trembling, turning blue. The wife faints. But then she came to again and managed to get him to the hospital. But I thought about Daphne and her years of walking with the Lord. She used to be a Bible teacher following the Billy Graham campaign in New York City many years ago. She was asked to take a Bible class of women on Long Island. And Daphne has walked with God, that kind of trust that can immediately turn and say, "The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us," is very real and very strong. And it's the fruit of years of living with God, counting on His promises and His presence. Because the truth is that nothing changes the fact that the Lord is with us. Absolutely nothing from here to eternity can ever change that fact. We have the promise of His abiding presence. Many times I've told the story of how when I received the word that my husband Jim Elliot was missing in the jungle, God brought to my mind a promise of His presence. It was from Isaiah 43, the second verse. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." The presence of God. I was recently sent in the mail a manuscript by a German who tells this remarkable story. And as I read it, I'd like you to remember that he was one of what we would have called the enemy back during World War II. Doesn't it seem like one of the huge ironies of life that on both sides of terrible conflicts, there will be people of God? In Lincoln's second inaugural address, he refers to the fact that on both sides, North and South, were godly people praying to the same God for victory. And Lincoln points out the fact that it would have been impossible for the prayers of both to have been answered. Well, here was a German Christian. He tells of how he was in a dugout. An enemy battery was in the process of adjusting the range of its shells to our position. We were on a lower level to them and offered them an ideal target. We braced ourselves for the shuddering impact of each explosion. The sequence was ominous. First to the right, then the left, a burst in front of us, and then beyond us. Suddenly a deafening blast floored us as a shell landed at the entrance of the dugout. The whole structure began to cave in on us and the light went out. Two men managed to stave off the complete collapse of our hiding place by putting their backs against the wooden boards, thereby preventing an avalanche of earth on top of us. We held our breath, knowing that we were within a step of death. We knew that at any moment we might be swept into eternity. You could have cut the atmosphere with a knife in that dugout. Even two lively characters who had cheered us in other tight situations with their wit were silent now. They were doubtless aware of how inappropriate their sense of humor was as we waited on the threshold of eternity. Weightier considerations pressed in upon us as the seconds ticked by. The way in which Jesus showed me that he was with me in that moment is something I have never forgotten. Quietly, but very clearly, he brought back to mind the verse of a hymn, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest." No greater contrast could be imagined than the sentiments expressed in those lines and the circumstances facing us in the tense atmosphere underground. Yet that hymn spoke the truth. The sense of security given by Christ's presence in that crisis was so deep and reassuring that I was pervaded by an overwhelming peace. Then he reminded me of another verse of another hymn. "Oh, that you might believe it, for wonders would unfold, the peace of Jesus' presence to comfort and uphold." Let me make clear that I did not draw from that verse the false conclusion that I would be rescued from a precarious situation because I knew Jesus. That is the kind of superstition that a pagan might entertain. My own conviction was quite the opposite. The battery commander who gave the orders to fire at us was at liberty to bracket his shells for the maximum effect. Yet even if he scored a direct hit, I was not in his hands, but in the hands of Jesus, my Lord. That's a tremendous testimony, isn't it? Particularly those last words. I did not draw from that verse the false conclusion that I would be rescued from a precarious situation because I knew Jesus. How often we misconstrue the promises of God and think that salvation means not only the hope of heaven, but perhaps exemption from all the woes of this life. Non-Christians often think that that's the way it's supposed to be, and they challenge us Christians with the age-old question, well, if God loves you so much, how come he lets these things happen? This German soldier whose manuscript I've just read did not assume that because he knew Jesus, the bullets or the shells would not find their target. He knew perfectly well that if the battery commander gave orders to fire, he was at liberty to bracket the shells for the maximum effect. Yet even if he scored a direct hit, I was not in his hands, but in the hands of Jesus, my Lord. Am I speaking to someone today who is fearing the worst? Let me say that even if the worst happens, God will be there. You will be not in the hands of the person who is perhaps suing you, or someone who may do you some harm, or even of a disease that is incurable. Where are you? You're in the hands of Jesus, if that's where you want to be. If you put your life in his hands, he takes it. And he has promised to keep us. You're always in his hands. And I was glad that this German soldier refers to that lovely little hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. That was one of the ones that we sang sometimes in our family prayers when I was a child. And often at night I would go to bed and sing that song to myself. One of the things that we were allowed to do after we got into bed was sing. We were not allowed to talk, but we were allowed to sing. And that was one of my favorites. I was a little bit afraid of the dark, too. I had nightmares from time to time. And I was a small child at the time of the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby. And there were times when I would imagine that I could hear a ladder being put up to my window and see the rungs of that ladder appearing. And I would sing these words to myself, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Are you willing to commit your soul to him for salvation, for heaven, and for everything that happens here on this earth? Paul said in Romans 8, those last few verses, I am convinced that there is nothing in death or life, in the realm of spirits or superhuman powers, in the world as it is or the world as it shall be, in the forces of the universe, in heights or depths, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.